I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV.
And gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and we are coming to you live all across Southern California, and have we got a show for you. AEW Dynamite is live once again, and we're going to break it down. But before we get into the dust-ups and fisticuffs, let me introduce to you the amazing people I get to work with today. First, he is typically the king of the bing, bang, and boom, and the super heavyweight of AfterBuzz himself. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Josh Alonso.
That's right. That's right. What's going on, y'all? What a great night, and great to see so many familiar faces. And speaking of familiar faces, the next guy coming up, Jack, introduce him.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's more than just the mayor. He's more than just the president. He's more than just the prime minister. He's also lost his way home after the NXT after show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of applause for the special guest star, Flo Bo Boy.
I have an AEW after show. I don't have any bus fare to get home, and that is undisputed.
Oh, snap.
And of course, making sure you guys can hear us and see us and doing all the dirty work in the booth today. Let's hear it for Rye Guy. How you doing, Rye Guy?
I am caught off guard. How are you doing, Jack? Oh, man. AEW was wild tonight. I just read about it on Twitter, and I cannot wait to hear about it from y'all.
Well, as mentioned at the top, my name is Jack Farmer, and I get to be the host tonight, and I am super excited. As mentioned, guys, we are back. We are live, and we even got like 5% of a crowd back in the arena. This is step number one to greatness. Guys, what were your overthoughts of the show? Josh, let me know what you thought.
I mean, credit to the crowd. I mean, even though there were just a sprinkling of crowd like here and there, it still made a bigger impact than what we've had in the pre-tapings in the past. I mean, it definitely resonates a lot more having that sort of crowd emotion going along with like with the matches and as the event went on and everything. So it was great. And I can't wait to see as time progresses. And of course, once this pandemic's over, we'll see more and more and more crowd interaction with it. And then this definitely will elevate the show to a whole nother level.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, you can feel the live. I don't know why you can tell. You can just feel that it's live. And I'm feeling alive because of it. Flobo, are you feeling alive?
I'm feeling it, man. Open air, open sky. Wrestling is a performance art, man. And yeah, the crowd was smaller than what we're used to. But you know what? Some crowd is maybe a little better than no crowd whatsoever. And to AEW's credit, they brought the heat as well.
You know, like I said, the live, you just feel it. You just feel the live, anything can happen, atmosphere. And something did happen. They mentioned something that I have not yet heard on any wrestling shows, and maybe I just haven't paid attention. They said by name COVID. They talked about the virus specifically, and they talked about how the city they're in is handling it and all this other stuff. Let me go to you. Is this like actually addressing it? Is it time to just say, hey, there's no crowd because of COVID? Is it something they should still kind of keep on the down low? Because it's, I mean, we all know, but you know, just don't say things that might be uncomfortable. Like, how do you feel about them finally addressing it and just saying, this is what's going on?
Yo, fantastic question, because I think WWE on NXT tonight mentioned it for the first time as well because of the Real Heroes Project, where you like put your name on someone else's jersey. And to me, that stuck out being the first time mentioning it. But let's be honest, man, I can understand if you're saying, no, we're escapist entertainment. Let's not mention the bad words, but every other company on the planet has a commercial or an email or a policy. You're putting your head in the sand if you don't. So I think it's okay. I don't think it's okay. As long as you don't overdo it, then it's all fair game.
Yeah. Are you, Josh, do you agree? You're all on board for them. Just let's talk about it.
I definitely agree.
Open air.
You have to pretty much reveal the elephant in the room. You can't just ignore it for this amount of time. I mean, a lot of sports teams are doing it here, specifically in LA. I know the Kings, the Dodgers, and the Lakers, and some other sports organizations within the city, they're doing their own little thing and just trying to organize as much money as they can to give in donation to a lot of charities to people that are affected with the pandemic and everything. So I think it's really good on AEW's credit to acknowledge why there isn't such much of a crowd. And
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And why everyone's kind of a bit of a distance and everyone's wearing a mask. It's just pretty much just bringing to light what's going on in the current state of what's going on, not just in the United States, but around the world.
And speaking of what's going on in the United States and around the world and around the arena, we closed the show with a tag team match, Playa. And I can't remember if it was a hardcore match or a Falls Count Anywhere match or a No Holds Barred match. They're all coming to get it on. They're all the same. The No Holds Barred, the Falls Count Anywhere, the hardcore matches. But what I loved about this, whenever I've watched a hardcore match or a match where there's no rules, you always say to yourself, why don't they just do this? Why don't they just run them over with a car? Why don't they just have all of their buddies jump in and help them out? Why don't they do such and such? Tonight, they did such and such. People got ran over by cars. The whole inner circle got involved. All the wrestlers were falling around backstage. Josh, I can't contain my excitement. I love this match. Tell me you liked it also.
No, spectacular match overall. And one thing you forgot to mention, the costume changes. Matt Hardy, to his credit, every time he got knocked or specific bumped into something that we couldn't see him, next thing you know, costume change. First time, broken Matt Hardy. Chris Jericho takes him out to the entrance ramp, throws him into the tunnel. Next thing you know, we see someone coming running out. I was confused at who it was at first. And then I see it's Matt Hardy in his version 1 gear. And I'm just like, whoa, what the hell just happened here? What? And then next thing you know, in the ice chest, and then he comes back as his broken face. It was just amazing. With the costume changes, just perfect.
Chef's kiss.
The whole time, when he went into the ice chest, I was thinking, if he comes out with Dippin' Dots, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, that'd be a good callback.
That would be.
I would have lost. The whole time, I was like, please come out with him. You'd mentioned attires. Of course, you know, everyone wearing their jeans and t-shirt. Kenny Omega looking like attire number 4 in the No Mercy Nintendo 64 game.
Good callback.
Yeah, so something that Matt Hardy has been doing is he's been going back and forth between Damascus and version 1. Flobo, I want to get your take on old Matt Hardy. How do you feel about this broken character? Do you prefer broken over version 1? Do you like the fact that he's bouncing back and forth between them? What are your thoughts on old Matt Hardy?
Yeah, it's funny, one, because Matt Hardy wants to be in the runway by himself this week, apparently. Two, you know, historically, I've been a version 1 fan only because of where it was in his career. He was a tag team guy. Everyone loved Jeff, and Matt was the other guy. So he came out with the version 1, had the MFers. I've always been clinging to that. But if you take a step back and look at his entire career, the development under the original Broken hasn't been done before. It hasn't been done since. It just stands on its own. And Woken was kind of watered down. Damascus is good. It's a little derivative, but it's good. But the fact the vessel's able to oscillate through all those different ones to come back whenever, that's like, it rewards fans for being a fan of him for that long, and that's dope.
I can't believe I heard a commentator say in a serious way, Damascus has emerged from the ice in the middle of a match. It's just, it was such a funny, funny thing. Of course, the inner circle comes out on top. They have to in a match like this, especially the way it played out, because they've got strength in numbers. They have the inner circle, though, show on the billboard or the scoreboard behind them. And it's the coolest, one of the coolest, like, ends to a show I've seen in a very long time. But what I want to talk about this match, something I think I haven't seen a lot of people talk about so far or mention so far, is something that AEW is always very good about that I see is layering stories and not just having straight this person's facing this person, this person's facing this person, and that's going to go into the pay-per-view and then they move on. Today we saw something. I'm going to say young Pineapple Pete took a shot at Le Champion. And before the match, Pineapple Pete, maybe two matches in AEW and already taking shots at the top guy, Flobo. Do you think it'd be okay for Jericho to rub shoulders with Pineapple Pete?
Oh man, that's going to be your Double Nothing main event. Pineapple Pete Jericho, baby. The fame. Look, we always talk about comedy wrestling, and some purists go, "Hey, you know, it's cheapening the brand of things that are happening in the independent scene." Pineapple Pete's a perfect balance because it's silly, it's goofy. You don't take him seriously, but he's still a wrestler, so he can go out there and do his thing. A couple weeks ago, when he had that match in the ring, yeah, it didn't work out the way he did. But you're like, you know what? I want to root for him now. I want to see him win. So if there was a match with Jericho, or there was an angle with Jericho, even Guevara, if you threw him Hager and you gave him like a little 5-minute dust up and or fisticuff, that would be totally worth the price of admission, you know.
Yeah, just one of them, a fisticuff or a dust up. Either one, I would take it. Maybe a hijinx.
Yeah, some hijinks.
I lost the right to say flim flam. They stole that from me. I still say flim flam was my word, even though they were saying it like in the 1920s. It's my word. Words? Is it two words? I don't know. Somewhere that we have a lot of words, though, is, by the way, just one more repeat. Loved this ending of the show. I thought it was so much fun. But as far as saying words that mean a lot, we do what we call cutting a promo around here at After Buzz, where we tell people where you can see people like us and shows like us everywhere. And I haven't told who's going to say it this week, so I'm going to throw it randomly to Josh Alonso. Let's hear you do one. I don't get to hear you do one very often.
Well, on my screen.
Let me warm up the pipes. Alrighty, y'all. Thank you so much for joining us here on AfterBuzz TV. It means so much, but please hit that subscribe button. It means a whole lot for us. We got a lot of content for us, not only just wrestling. We got also comedy. We got dramas. We got sci-fi. We got reality. You know what's all going on with this 90 Day Fiancé stuff? We all love Big Ed, right? So just hit those comments below. Definitely leave a like for us. And not only that, go on iTunes. Give us those 5-star ratings because 1 through 4 just don't work. 5 stars is the max. And before we move on, quick shout out to the chat right now. We got Dang MQ. We got Joseph Boza. We got Haywood Wong. We got Dylan Matthews. We got all the usual suspects. So thank you so much, everyone. And keep allowing us to be the ESPN of TV talk.
Nailed it. If we were still in the studio, I'm sure there'd be a ding ding coming up. Are we still getting the cutout of Maria Menounos walking by the bottom of the screen during these shows? Maybe who it's knows? Happening now. Maybe she's popping up right here.
Or here.
Ryan, this is where you got to time it. You got to set it up. It's happening right here.
Yeah, it's definitely not coming across the screen right now.
Hey, babe, has been broken.
Thanks. We could have fixed it in post, but whatever. I guess we'll just throw it. The miracle of live TV, folks. Something that wasn't live was a pre-tape promo by Sean Spears, someone who's been a little bit lost lately, not really know where he's going. But he had a promo, and again, this is one of those layered things where he didn't just have a straight-up rivalry, but he was talking about Cody Rhodes and how terrible Cody Rhodes was building into his match, Lance Archer, for the TNT title. Now, my question is, oh, by the way, real quick, Zeno Hour, shout out to you as well. You're in the chat as well. So we didn't forget about you. Sorry about that. Anyway, as I was saying, it looks like it's more than just Sean Spears putting over Lance Archer. It feels a little bit like he's taking shots at Cody Rhodes. Flobo, would you be on board to see another program with Sean Spears versus Cody Rhodes? Or does Sean Spears need to start building up some street cred before he can go after the king again?
It's a hard play because at first I'm like, oh, heck no, Cody's over here and Sean's over there. But Cody is the world's elite. He's one of the people who can work with anybody on any level. I go back to the first ever episode of Dynamite. We had a promo against Sammy Guevara being like, I don't know if I can beat him, knowing full well he was going to beat him. The problem I have with Sean Spears is that I don't really see the killer instinct. He really should be a guy where you're like, oh, snap, can Cody beat him? So the question isn't so much if I don't want to see it. The question is, how quickly is Cody going to dispatch Sean Spears? And that makes it lame, if that's a question. So if I was that, I'll have him in a little side program here, Pineapple Pete maybe, and then come back and go after Cody Rhodes afterwards.
Does Josh, does a side feud with Jericho and Pineapple Pete and a side feud with Sean Spears and Cody put two of their top guys in rivalries that maybe aren't that important. Is that a risk for them, you think?
I don't think it's a risk. And I'll say this. It's definitely, well, what we've mentioned earlier, it's definitely a great opportunity for two, I guess, lower card guys to get that bump and to get that shoulder rub to really elevate them to be a little bit more. And Pineapple Pete's case, of course, I personally have never heard of him prior to tonight. So I'm just like, who's this guy? I don't know who he is. But in that case, he goes up in a match with Jericho and people like me are going to be like, okay, we're going to get exposed to more of his in-ring work. And it's going to be great. And as far as Aries Spears goes, we all know him and when he was in WWE. And then now transitioning to a new character here in AEW, it's definitely one of those things where I personally don't want to see this matchup again until Aries Spears builds up a little bit more of a repertoire beating other top guys as well
Sean
or
Spears.
Upper to mid card.
Yeah, Aries Spears on Matt TV.
Oh, my apologies, Sean Spears.
You know, something that happened is something done a little bit with these empty arena shows is Sean Spears has been palling around with one MJF. And before all this started, Sean Spears was looking for a tag team partner. I was watching today as they were all palling around, chatting, telling each other they're great. I could see a Wardlow Sean Spears tag team being incredibly dominant. Flobo, would you be on board with that? And would that be the thing to give Sean Spears some instant credibility in a new division?
And a short answer, yes, but he has to get a Burberry mask too. That's the only way I want to see that happen. But AEW's problem, if there is such a problem, is that the factions they have right now are kind of still intertwined. So if you have them together as a tag team, even a third man faction, where do they go? Because they broke up SCU, so they won't be the easy fodder team for them. But yes, this on a poster, seeing MJF, Wardlow, and Spears, yeah, I'm buying the merch.
And Tully too. Tully's a manager.
Yeah, the chairman, yeah, sure.
So you said earlier, something you said that I like is you talked about how Cody is so good at getting the other people to seem like legitimate, serious threats. And today he had a match with Joey Janela. Joey Janela, by the way, every time he wrestles, I end up saying to myself, oh, he can actually wrestle pretty well. He's not just a hardcore guy. Every time I say it, every single time I say it, I put it in my notes. Every time, wow, Joey Janela wrestles pretty good. Are you on board with Joey Janela, Flobo? Are you a Joey Janela guy?
Joey Janela was the one guy I was hyped when they signed. Like, I'm not saying Kid Omega was whack or anything like that, but when they're like, oh, they got Janela? Oh, they got the bad boy? I marked out. And his, like, first 6 months were like, meh. And I mean, Josh, I'm sure you had the same thing, too. You know, when the power rankings of 2019, you may have some favorites going, like, Rick, come on, guys. So you know, when he comes out, it's always like, don't break my heart, Joey. Don't break my heart. Okay, fine. Here we go. So I'll always be a fan, but it's in that weird on Monday Night Raw, we had the thing about Apollo Crews, right? Like I feel like I'm always telling people he's so good, he's so good. And then
yeah, when I watched Joey wrestle, he is someone I call him Joey because we're close like that. He wrestles fun to me. I feel like he's the guy that, like, I don't know the process of figuring out how you're going to wrestle or what your style is going to be, but everything he does just seems fun. Like, it seems like a fun way to wrestle. Josh, does this – Joey Janela has been kind of a start-stop kind of role lately. Does a hard-fought loss to the American Nightmare – make him someone we need to take notice of, or do you think this is sort of just par for the course and what we should expect from him going forward?
I think he's always someone that we should always take note of. I mean, obviously with his matches last year, they were pretty much great. And then this time around, it raises his stock up a little bit more. And then I'm pretty sure once that TNT title, it comes into full effect, he's going to be a perennial contender to whoever's going to be the title holder at that point. Win or loss, I think this really just raises his ante up just a little bit more. And it just gives a lot more of a value. Like, I, just like you guys, I just always saw him as a hardcore wrestler. I didn't really see much of that tonight. And seeing something else, like traditional mat wrestling and traditional just, like, movesets and everything, it was so refreshing to see. And then what you guys said earlier, what Cody matched up against anyone can bring out an awesome match. And then this match with Joey Janela was by far amazing as well. And such a great way to kick it off as well.
Something that JR said during the match, he said, Cody is wrestling angry.
And for the past few weeks, I've been noting how Cody's been wrestling. I've been saying, Cody seems like he's wrestling angry. Then JR said it. So when he said that, I just want to put it out there. I looked at my empty shelf of imaginary AfterBuzz Wrestling Pundit Awards and said, there's another one that goes up on the shelf. Because, boy, howdy, do I know what I'm talking about.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy.
Take a gander at my awards over there. Yeah.
I've been through a lot of flim-flam to get all these awards.
Flim-flam.
I like they shook hands after I think trying to have us show a physical version of Cody saying, look, man, that was good. I respect you. Well done. I hope to see more of the guy. But who we saw more of today was a little bit more of Brandi Rhodes. She had a promo. She was doing a verbal finger wagging at Jake the Snake for calling her out and all the mean things he said. She was sounding pretty upset, pretty angry, kind of almost doing the Nightmare Collective kind of sound. Maybe not quite as dark and devious, but she definitely had the claws out. Flobo, I'm always torn with Brandi because she seems so lovable and so nice. And I want to be like, you're such a lovable person. But it seems like whenever she gets on the mic, she's always drawn to being a scary, kind of aggressive, intimidating kind of person. Is that the right move for her? Am I crazy? I don't think she's doing a bad job. I just think I like her. Like, just let me think you're nice, right?
I would say she's grown so much as a performer, just as long as Dynamite's been on the air, where I feel like now it's a lot more natural, even though it comes from a place where you can tell she's being angry or being distraught or what have you, it come off as hollow as a Nightmare Collective thing. And we do need an audience surrogate to say, hey, Mr. The Snake Roberts, you're saying real mean things, you know? I'm with you. I think Brandi could be very nice, but I think it's almost a conscious effort to subvert that. Like, she's only seen as the wife or someone who's agreeable. I'm going to show you my power through her dialogue and promo. So I've gone from hating it actively to being like, there's something there. I'm cool.
Cool. How about, so Josh, she was attacked after, well, not, I don't know necessarily attacked, but Jake the Snake brought back Old Damien. I assume it's still Damien. I doubt that Damien's.
It's probably Damien the Fourth by now. Right.
I'm going to pretend it's the same old Damien. Brought out Damien and.
You still got it.
You still got it. Yes, I love it. And put her on Brandi, making this rivalry with Lance Archer getting really, really personal. Did you like seeing him get involved like that? Did you cringe a little bit? They talked about COVID at the beginning. I'll talk about it now. Did you feel kind of like, dude, you got to get out of the ring. You got to stay away from people. What were your thoughts going through this?
I'll say this. It was kind of, wouldn't say obvious what was going to happen. I mean, Brandi did mention it in her promo saying, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. I'm not going to allow it. That's pretty much in hindsight saying, okay, this is going to happen. I didn't expect for Damien the Fourth to come out. That was just like, oh my goodness, are we really seeing it? And then next thing you know, nice little throwback to putting the snake on. It just, that brought an extra element to that whole thing, because obviously that's just a normal trope. We always see the manager getting involved, especially with another wrestler having a significant other in a storyline. We usually always see someone interfering, bringing them into the ring, cornering, something happens, an attack happens, or something malicious happens. We know that. This is adding an extra element because it brings in a fear that a lot of people have. A lot of people are deathly afraid of snakes. And then seeing the snake just crawl around to a very unconscious and prone Brandi, it sends shivers down my spine because I'm just like, okay, I was expecting one thing. I just wasn't expecting the extreme to happen. And I guess that's just a great way for any show to really amp up on your emotions like that, which was totally executed greatly.
I think what they were trying to tell us today with both that promo and that post-match snakening was that these outside influences are more than just mouthpieces. I think they're both very much involved, and their rivalry and their personality against each other is very much going to be a part of what happens. Poor QT Marshall was also part of what happens. He was on the other end of Lance Archer, who has been looking dominant. Before we talk about Lance Archer, I'm going to front something else. I'm going to talk about something else. QT Marshall had some plugs put in, and I am happy for him. I think they're growing in. I know it's easy to make fun of that kind of stuff, but good for him. I think it's looking great. I think it's coming along well, and I think it's going to be something much like braces. You start off hating them, but when it's all said and done, you're glad you made the investment.
Josh, I don't know about you, but I did not see that coming at all. QT Marsh had a good match. No, his plugs are coming.
Look, I think it's great. I feel like it's interesting. It seems like a lot of wrestlers recently have got plugs done, because I think Gulak had it done recently as well, and he looks great as well. I'm just saying. I'm trying to get some good foundation for when I eventually get the plugs. And Jack was always very supportive.
Oh, man. You heard it here, folks.
But I have a question for you guys. So Lance Archer looking good. He has the move the black out. It's like a inverted outsider's edge, I guess. I don't really know how to explain it. He's not really winning with that anymore. He's been winning with this, like, claw where he slams their head into the mat. Josh, just your opinion, which move do you like better? Do you think you should stick with that, the blackout, the outsider's edge, razor's edge?
I personally –
the WCW guys say outsider's edge.
I think you got to go with the claw end and slamming onto the mat. That is just brutal in itself. If you think about that, you know that that would really devastate you in reality's sake. So him ending that match with just like the, what is it? What do they call it? It was the Von Erichs move. What was it? The iron claw,
I believe it's called. The iron claw. Yeah.
Okay. So just having that, variation of it and just him just slamming onto the mat, that is just very visceral and guttural. And so I think that is a whole lot effective. Very well, he is really tall. So having that outsider's edge going onto that, that could be a finishing move in itself. But we've also seen him finish matches with the choke slam itself. So it's just very cool to see him have a wide array of moves to finish matches. I mean, it's really great. It's sort of similar to what The Undertaker did. He had the choke slam. He had the last rite. He had the tombstone pile driver. He had different ways to finish matches. And I think that's really a great move on what they're doing for Lance Archer's part and just having different things that could totally annihilate his opponents.
Yeah, so I'm
how do you
agree.
Feel about guys having multiple moves?
Multiple moves and finishes is great, man, because you really – well, I think you should have one finisher and one submission maneuver. And every time I do a fake character in a wrestling video game, I make sure I have that already set. Mm-hmm. The blackout, yeah. I like more as a fan. I think it's a cool move to do it. Watching it week to week, I wonder, as you get up there in age and you have a lot more heavier talent, can your shoulder maintain the rotation necessary to do that move? And will it be too dangerous over a period of time? But the claw or whatever the equivalent is of it, it's more torn to his character. It looks like a nightmare. You know what I'm saying? I get that. So like character-wise, it's the right move to switch it up, even though I like to see the other move. But when it's all said and done, you want multiple finishers, right? Because I look at The Undertaker, one of the best big men of all time. And throughout his career, whether it's Hell's Gate, Last Ride, Tombstone, Pile Driver, Choke Slam, I mean, he's always switched it up to get the fresh.
Yeah, and I love the great piece of advice in there, folks. Flobo said it. If you make a creator wrestler, you got to have a finisher from every position. It's very important. Speaking of multiple finishers, though, Darby Allin's been using multiple finishers lately. He's had the coffin drop. He's also had the Last Supper pin. Today he had an interview with Taz. Taz was kind of a jerk to him, to be totally honest. He was like, you got beat, Darby. Cody, you pinned yourself. Man, you need some help. Maybe I can help you out. It sounded like they were teasing that maybe Taz could be a manager for Darby Allin. Flobo, I'm going to pass this one to you. One, two-part, should Darby have a manager? I guess three-part. Should Darby have a manager? Should it be Taz? If so, and should Darby start talking? I don't think I've heard him on a mic.
Does Darby need a manager? No, he doesn't need one because his talent is already there and his character is very unique. And when his music hits and you see him come on top of the ramp, there ain't no one like Darby to help him. There isn't anyone to stick him out. Can he benefit from a manager? Of course, it's AEW. The promos alone on this brand is top of class. So anything to help you out is great. I'd rather Darby not have a manager than be stuck with like a legend who doesn't do as much. I'm looking at you, Telly. That's right. Hot take. Taz being a manager, I can see that. I can see Taz being the manager the way that Gulak's a manager for Brian on SmackDown. This tough coach, I hit hard, or from the old Brooklyn or what have you. But I do not think Taz will be up past 9:30 p.m. to hang out in cemeteries with Darby Allin. Character-wise, doesn't quite work for me. And Darby should talk. I'm not sure how good he is on the microphone. But so if you want to have a silent character, that's fine. Make that decision now and say, no, he's not going to talk. But if he has a microphone and says, I'm going to kick your ass, I'm on board. He doesn't need much.
Watch the language, son.
I'm sorry. I'm
son, going to kick your ass. Son.
All right, money. All right, B. All right, Holmes. You know, I'm going to beat your butt in the ring next week. You know?
Josh, let me ask you this. Everyone's been saying that Darby Allin is the future, that he's going to be the next Sting. They give him pretty high accolades, or not accolades, but they compare him to big names, and they have pretty high hopes for him. Can he be that guy without being on the microphone? Doesn't he need to prove that he can talk on a mic before we start comparing him to these guys?
I think it is safe to make that comparison. Here's why. His character has a certain mystique which allows him not to talk. Or if he does talk, it's very brief and it's straight to the point. Similar to what Sting did when he was in his Crow gimmick, he rarely ever talked, especially at the beginning of that debut of the gimmick. Aleister Black, when he debuted in NXT, didn't really talk as much. Undertaker, we know he didn't really talk as much in his debut and everything like that. Of course, Kane as well. So there is a component to this. There can be success for a wrestler to have a gimmick where they don't have to talk. They let their actions speak for the words, especially with someone as, I guess you could say, macabre, like someone like Darby Allin, whose gimmick is just the silent type, who is pretty much like stereotypically like all punk rockers, all metalheads. They don't really talk. They're just pretty much to themselves. It's everyone against one person. And I feel like stylistically, if he were to pair up with Taz, it wouldn't work. And so I think he can be that guy. He can be the future of AEW or any wrestling organization whatsoever. But my point is, he can be successful just by not talking, or if he does talk, to the point.
So, yeah, maybe we'll see Taz as the manager. But someone whose name rhymes with Taz is Kaz, and Kaz had a match with Jon Moxley. You like that one?
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call a segue.
Yeah, elite.
Elite segue. Kaz has hair again. I don't know. Was he bald? He always had a shaved head.
Yeah.
Did he have, was he thin on top? But he has hair now. I don't know. I was wondering if he got plugs as well. But his hair looked great. I thought he was looking good. This was a great match. Kaz is so underrated as far as just being someone who always has good matches. But of course, Jon Moxley won. The story of the match isn't that Kaz was in a great match with the world champion. The story of the match was the Dark Order shows up, wipes out Jon Moxley. SCU comes in to try to save the day. The Dark Order wipes them out as well. As I said on Twitter, this was like AEW saying, Anissa, Jack is right. The Dark Order is better than all the people you're a huge fan of.
Yes, specifically, that's what they said.
I got tons of DMs about it from people who were within the organization. No, I didn't. But the I loved this. I loved what Brody Lee said. One of my favorite things, he addresses that there's no crowd by saying to Jon Moxley, there's no crowd to save you, no energy to lift you up. This is the energy you feel now. Obviously, being the next to go after the title. Josh, is Brody Lee the right choice right now to be the guy to go after Jon Moxley?
I'm going to go with a hot take. Absolutely not. I think it's way too early for him to have a main event title scene right now. Do I think he deserves it? Yes, later on in the future. I feel like he needs to have notable wins against top contenders to actually go for the title. I mean, what we've seen of Brody Lee is impressive, but he's beat pretty much just jobbers and pretty much no names, essentially, besides Marco Stunt.
Bit
I guess
Marco
in a sense, his character is so domineering and just so straight to the point. He can demand a title shot and just over just see everything else. He doesn't need to have that. So do I think he deserves it? Not necessarily. But does his character merit it? Yeah.
To play Dark Order's advocate, Flobo, if it wasn't Brody Lee going after the title, who else could go after the title at Double or Nothing in 3 weeks or 2 weeks? I don't know math, but you know what I mean.
I was actually looking at my notes at this, and I actually wrote down, hey, it's Kaz. Remember Kaz? What happened to SCU? To answer your question, man, there ain't nobody. Brody Lee, whether you like him or not, and I do agree with you, Josh, but he's a force of nature. He's that guy. He's formidable. He's the only person right now on the roster, save for Lance Archer, but he's in another division right now where Jon Moxley may have a chance of losing. And that's what gets people to tune in. I don't think he should be champion because I think the Dark Order is that great. And it should take some time to help rebuild the main play of the Dark Order because Evil Uno had to slot down to make room for Brody Lee. So they have to get strength, in my opinion. But yeah, as far as you look at the chart now, there's no one else you can put Jon Moxley with. That's more or less feeding it to him, you know?
Is it a little weird that they added 10 and started kind of building him as like the future Dark Order henchman? Yeah, because Stu Grayson and Evil Uno now gone, it seems, at least for now. Obviously, scheduling is weird. Let's not forget all that. Did they lose their spot? Is that a problem, we think?
I think it might be. I think you have this idea that's very strong and there's a desire to keep it going. And Brody Lee is charismatic enough, but it's going to be a time where we're like, yeah, who are you cutting promos to, bro? Like, come on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I get exactly what, yeah, Josh, you're saying. I think in a perfect world, but I think with this whole COVID thing, it definitely is causing them to hard reset and just have to, not hard reset, but they didn't have time to rebuild someone. I think it's too early for MJF, and I think MJF is probably going to be the guy that actually takes the title. So that's my opinion on all of that. But someone who does have a title and who's not looking to lose it soon, Nyla Rose. Barreling through Kenzie Page, who did her best, which is all we can ask for. I love the promo before this where they talk about how the women's division has really escalated since all this started. And they actually did a really good job talking about Britt Baker being the scourge of the locker room and with Sheeta being not if but when, and Penelope Ford being athletic and really showing that, like, when they showed me this video package, I thought, wow, the women's division in AEW is pretty sick right now.
Oh, yeah.
Flobo, you are the host of NXT, which still, if I'm being totally honest, is the class of women's wrestling right now. How do you feel about the AEW women's roster as it is?
One, short answer, total improvement over this time last year or even in the fall. And in two different ways. One, Nyla Rose's match was a squash, but they made a point to give her a heavyweight matchup. It could have been very easy to give someone who wasn't, like, you know, ready or size to show Nyla Rose to be like, hey, look, she can go in her division if you're doing the whole sports presentation weight class thing. But that package proves, hey, look, we're AEW. We listen to you. And we may not be going as fast as you may want. NXT over there has so many other women that are coming up that there's now undercard feuds happening in that women's division. But we have documented proof we are moving the needle. Stay with us. There's more to come. And that's all you can ask for a wrestling fan is improvement, right?
Yeah, I love that answer. And Josh, I want to ask you something that stuck out to me. Chris Statlander was not mentioned in the video package of some of the people who've been doing a great job, and even though she has been doing a good job. Do you think with how serious the world is right now that the alien thing is silly, or do you think it's cool that she keeps it? What are your thoughts on the alien thing?
I mean, I think she should keep it. I mean, it's one of those gimmicks where it's not really seen as much, and I think if it's played out correctly, then it could work. I mean, I don't think it's that goofy. Stylistically, it looks pretty cool, and she definitely presents that character in a manner where it can be taken seriously. Now, is it like something like Max Moon back in the 90s? That's
deep cut
right there. So it's definitely not as goofy as, say, that type of character, but if done correctly and not done to the extreme, like saying that she wears tinfoil hats or just trying to communicate with her home planet or whatever, that would feel a little bit too much. But then just focusing on her, I guess you can just focus on like something that she loves, like sci-fi, or she's really into just like, UFO conspiracies or anything like that. And I think that would be okay because that is relatable to some people in the world where they do believe in that stuff. So yeah. I guess you could say play it up to a T, but don't overdo it. And I think that would be successful in Chris Statlander's point.
That's my note too. If you give me one AEW promo, she goes, in science fiction, it's about the smartest, the best. It isn't about where you're from or who holds you back. It's about your truth, value, and justice. Hard science, Chris Statlander, I'm in.
Truth, value, and justice is a very keen point you make because they also announced the casino ladder match for Double or Nothing. And and what it's going to be, it's going to be a ladder match. People are going to duke it out for a chance to have a match with Jon Moxley. I think we all hear this, and the first thing goes off is Money in the Bank in our head. Now, they didn't say specifically the rules or what exactly is going to go on with it. Flobo, again, as the Raw After Buzz host, is it okay if AEW is like, yeah, we're going to steal that idea. It's great. We're going to use it. Do you think that's okay? Because I think it's okay.
Okay. Yes. As a match, it's okay. And I know there's a little bit of an intellectual property war happening with the Match Beyond and War Games and Bash at the Beach and Slamboree and all that. I think it's fine. I think these kind of matches, because of the stakes, automatically become exciting events. I want to see AEW's interpretation of this. Pepsi exists because Coke exists.
Exactly.
But the Wednesday Night War, man, those the hatred on the social media feeds, I am over it. I feel everyone takes everything and pulls it aside and no one wants to be in the middle. But AEW is totally right to do it. You know, why not?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. We're running out of time, so I have to do the hard cut into our final segment, folks. And we all know what that is. That is the Elite of the Week. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Elite of the Week, where we count down the top five people. Starting at number five, we've got the Native Beast, Nyla Rose. She came back and she's hitting harder. She's going faster, and she will cut you off by yelling in your face if you have anything to say that she may not like. At number four, he's got 10 guys helping him. It is Brody Lee with the Dark Order. He beat up Marco Stunt. Maybe he isn't the most highly ranked guy, but he doesn't care because he makes people exceptional, and he's going to make the world title exceptional. Number three, we've got Lance Archer. There was like five parts of the show today where people were talking about things that Lance Archer was involved in. He's killing people. He's going for the TNT title. He is an unstoppable freight train with a long red ponytail. And at number two, we've got the thrown together tag team of Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy. These two, they've never teamed together before, but they were part of one of the most fun matches I've seen in such a long time. Kenny Omega is having match of the year candidate after match of the year candidate after match of the year candidate, and Matt Hardy, everything he does is wildly entertaining. So they're sharing the number two spot, but number one, it is the entire Inner Circle, because teamwork makes the dream work, and they got a huge win in the most shenanigan filled backstage brawl I can remember, even including people getting run over. They fought through the adversity of all that, and they came up with a win, and they got their name up on the scoreboard in big lights where it belongs. And ladies and gentlemen, that is your Elite of the Week.
The Week.
Nailed it, right, guys? Every time.
Nailed it. But
I keep thinking
you did miss someone. I think you should give an honorary mention to Pineapple Pete.
Shug D, Pineapple Pete.
Pineapple Pete. Can he keep the name Shug D? I mean, he's Pineapple Pete, isn't he, Flobo?
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on.
Ooh, like, you know what I just thought of right now? What would be a great match? Maybe in my demented head, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but Pineapple Pete versus Orange Cassidy. How would that play out?
They could be, and they're managed by the Chiquita Banana Lady.
Boom.
In a fruit salad match, player.
In a fruit salad match. I think that's a good place to put a bow on it. So before we go, as always, Flo, but why don't you tell the world where they can find you online?
Oh, yeah. You can find me over at flopito.com. Support the homie and buy a t-shirt at flopito.threlas.com. But every Thursday, this guy teams up with that guy, Jack Farmer, for a show called Wrestling With Your Questions. We answer all your questions in a glorified mailbag, pop culture, sports, everything's involved. Come check it out.
Yes, and Josh Alonso.
All right, y'all. You guys can find me on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, at JOAL323.
And Rye Guy in the booth, when you're not disappointing me right before we go live on the air, where can they find you?
Oh, my goodness. what an insider. Inside baseball there. You guys can find me at Ryan Nilsen on Twitter, at Ryan Nilsen, N-I-L-S-E-N, on Instagram, and Star Wars News every Thursday, 4 p.m. Happy Star Wars Day, week, and year.
Jack Frost.
Breaking kayfabe tonight.
Jack Frost. You know what's funny, Ryan? I don't even actually remember what I got disappointed about.
I think it's because I called you Jim. I'm pretty sure
you called me Jim. That's
I called you Jim by accident.
That's right. You called me Jim. So you can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at realjackfarmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the WWE Raw After Show every Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as well as Flobo said, Wrestling With Your Questions every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We answer all your questions, but most importantly, tomorrow you need to check in because we have some awesome, big, groundbreaking news that we're going to share, but you got to tune in to find out. Guess what? It ties in a little bit with AfterBuzz. We call that synergy, folks. We're working together. Tune in 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on YouTube. And until then, as always, do your best and be yourself.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners.